Great to have you with us for another edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. You know, spring is kind of right around the corner, and this is the perfect time, I think, to dream about changes to your landscape. And we have someone who knows a lot about that with us today on the show, Katie Tammany. She is the Chief Marketing Officer at Monrovia Growers of Plants, Trees, and Shrubs. She serves as the company's chief storyteller and trend spotter. She has more than 25 years of expertise in lifestyle and leisure activities, former editor of Sunset Magazine, and she's a longtime and very avid gardener. She has a specific interest in the connections between garden, art, health, and well-being. And I know it's going to be a fun conversation. As we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What do you want to know about gardening trends? Are you looking for some new varieties of plants for your landscape? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to talk@wpr.org. Katie Tammany, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Good morning, Larry, and all the gardeners out there. Excited to be here.
I think most of us have seen that the very distinctive Monrovia container at one gardening center or another. And I think it'd be fun to learn about the history and background of the company. How did it get started, and tell us its history a bit?
Sure. Monrovia will celebrate its 100th birthday in 2026. We have been around a while. The company started by a man, Harry Rosedale, who started the company in Southern California with 40 acres. And he really created the idea of growing shrubs and trees in containers to ship to garden centers. Before Harry, nurseries used to just plant shrubs and trees actually in the ground and kind of rip them out, put them in a pot and ship them. And Harry was the guy that figured out, you know, I think that's kind of hard on the plants. Maybe we should start them in a container. He actually was a pioneer in many aspects of the horticulture industry. He started patenting plants. He recognized that not every rose is the same, not every, you know, lavender is the same. And he sought to grow the best varieties that average gardeners could do really well with. And his other, I think, claim to fame, and it's something that we practice today, is that, you know, a healthy plant really starts with healthy roots. And so he invested a lot of research into understanding what really creates healthy roots in the garden, starting with soil. So we custom blend our soils to suit the needs of each plant that we grow. And then we add a beneficial fungus called mycorrhizae that helps the plant's roots establish themselves more quickly in the garden once planted. So he did a lot of research on every aspect of plant growth.
And a pretty broad variety of plants that you market and sell.
Yes, I think that's one of the more unusual things about Monrovia as a grower. We grow, 4,000 varieties, everything from houseplants and annuals to edibles and trees. We work with breeders from around the world. We work with plant explorers, too, from around the world, bringing back plants from, you know, North India and China that are climate appropriate for the U.S. And then we discover a lot of new plants actually at our own nurseries. You know, we've got really observant craftsmen who will spot when a plant develops a sport, you know, something in a new color. And we've created actually some really wonderful cultivars from our nurseries through our craftsmen.
It's a really cool and locations all over the world in a way, right?
Well, yeah,
as you were saying.
Yeah, we have nurseries in Oregon, in California, in Georgia, and Connecticut. So we're able to trial and test plants in, you know, every climate to make sure that, you know, they're going to grow where we ship them.
Now, a gardener can't buy directly from Monrovia, but how can they find the plants that we're going to be talking about today?
So we sell our plants through independent garden centers around the country. So your local, you know, just your local garden center is probably, you know, a best choice. And then also we sell to Lowe's stores. But those are the only two places you can find Monrovia plants.
You have a great website. Talk about some of the tools that are available on that site before we go to the phones.
Sure. That's another wonderful thing that we pioneered, actually, is creating a plant database for gardeners and landscape professionals. The database is pretty robust, and there are a couple of tools that make it easy to find the plant that would fit well in your garden. One is called My Plant Finder, and you just click on the top, you know, nav bar on the site, and you fill in, you know, your zone or zip code if you don't know your zone, and then you can filter the selection by, you know, sun exposure, by your soil type. Maybe you're looking for a screening hedge, and then you can quickly see what plants we grow that would fit your needs. That's probably our most popular tool. We also have planting plans. If you, you know, are stuck on, you know, don't know how to design your patio area, a container, a pathway, we've got lots of plans to help you do that.
Let's take a call. Kat in Mesa Mani has something for us. Kat, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I was wondering if she could talk a bit about the difference between natives and nativars, and whether nativars provide the same benefits to insects and birds that natives do.
Yeah.
Wow, great question, and one that is a very intense topic right now in the horticulture community. Nativars, for those that are not familiar with that term, are, you know, cultivars of a native plant, you know, something that, you know, we might be like an adjustment to a native. I think that a lot of people who are maybe newer to gardening think that, you know, something's either native or it's invasive. And, you know, to do the right thing for the environment, you want to only plant natives. And that is not the case. I mean, it's not as if there's just, you know, A or B. Nativars can be great choices for pollinators. They can be great choices for a climate appropriate garden. But it's not the same thing as an invasive plant. So I just wanted to, you know, make sure that was clear. We believe that the best thing you can do for the environment, for pollinators, for insects, is to grow a very diverse mix in the garden. And that includes natives, absolutely. But if you only grow natives in your garden, I think you're going to sometimes find that the natives are harder to maintain. They can get more robust, let's say. They can grow bigger in a home garden than out in the wild, and they can also have, you know, in some respects they can have limited bloom time. So keeping your garden full of blooms longer means that you probably want to plant a mix of natives and nativars.
All right, Kat, thank you very much for calling. You can join in too. Number to call: 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. In a way, I think our caller was zeroing a little bit on trends, and let's talk about trends for 2025. How do you decide what's trending or know what's trending?
Monrovia does a lot of research, we'll start there, with homeowners across the U.S. We do a really deep survey every summer, really asking people about their gardening challenges, their wishes, what, you know, what their problems are that they're trying to solve, what they purchased last year, what they plan to purchase in the future. And then we also do ongoing research throughout the year related to particular plant categories. And then I think some of our trend spotting is based on our team's years of experience, looking at what's, you know, out there trending on social media, other types of media, talking to professionals in the industry. And we publish a set of usually four or five what we see as the leading macro trends for the next year. For 2025, some of the things that we've spotted based on this research are a trend that we call green drenching, where homeowners are really layering more green in their gardens to create a feeling of calm, to create a relaxing space. And they're wanting to cover fences, let's say, with screening hedges. They're wanting to plant more ferns, more larger leafed plants in the landscape, really using different shades of green to create a feeling of calm. You know, one of the things that we started asking actually during the pandemic was we were asking questions of homeowners trying to understand, you know, motivations for garden related to wellness. And what we have seen in the last 4 to 5 years is the connection people are making between gardening and de-stressing and feeling positive. That's just growing every year. Last year, gardeners reported 45% of gardeners told us that gardening helps me feel more positive and it takes my mind off of the stress of everyday life, off of, you know, stressful, you know, news. And planting and working outside helps me feel energized and rejuvenated. And that number keeps climbing. When we first asked it 4 to 5 years ago, it was like, you know, 35%. It keeps going up. And that's true for all ages, you know, all levels of gardening, that connection that we're making to, you know, being out in nature and feeling better is just growing.
Oh, our guest today, Katie Tammany, the Chief Marketing Officer at Monrovia, taking a look at garden trends for 2025 with her, and also talking about plants. She's got some suggestions and recommendations for some new plants and other plants that they've been working on. I hope you'll join in. The number's 800-642-1234, or email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Thanks for joining in to Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Katie Tammany of Monrovia. She's the Chief Marketing Officer at Monrovia, serves as the company's trend spotter and chief storyteller. So it's great to have her with us. She's lots of gardening experience. And I'll hope you'll join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. I wanted to talk about that. One of the trends was the modern meadow.
Yeah, right. So
explain what that is all about.
Sure. So getting back to the question we had earlier about natives and nativars, we've seen an interest in a more natural looking landscape, natural approach to gardening. And, you know, considering the front yard, thinking about making it look more like a meadow, a natural meadow. And so an interest in looking at compact, sort of well-behaved grasses mixed with perennials in the garden gives you, you know, a great pollinator habitat, gives you a more carefree looking front yard. And I'd like to recommend a grass that I think does, you know, particularly well in most areas of Wisconsin, and that's Jazz Little Bluestem. It's a newer grass for us. It's super hardy, doesn't flop, hardy down to zone 3. The foliage gets this really pretty purple hue in the fall, which makes it a great match for a lot of perennials. And it can take various types of soil, including clay. It's got good drought tolerance once established, which I know drought is an increasing concern for a lot of gardeners that didn't have to deal with it before. It's just a beautiful little grass mixed with perennials such as echinacea. I think it would be a great choice.
Oh, wonderful. We've got an email. This is a totally different area, but an email from Carol in Green Bay, who had a terrible problem with in relating to her hostas. She has slugs are destroying her hostas and did last summer. She has lots of shade, so hostas are ideal, among the ideal. Is there a way to get rid of the slugs, or do you have other suggestions for other kinds of shade plants that would work for her.
Yeah. I hear you. I feel like slugs are the salad buffet for, the hostas are the salad buffet for slugs often. I would recommend, in terms of slug control where you are, really going to your local garden center for advice. But if you're looking for a plant that might do well in the shade, that is a better choice, I think, where I am, it's ferns. I'm going to have to do some quick research about what would do well in zone 5 for you in the shade. But the other suggestion I would make is to go on Plant Finder on Monrovia.com and punch in your zone, punch in shade. You know, you're looking for, ground cover foliage. And that's a great way to see the choices there.
Yeah, we've got a fairly broad range of zonal range. I think it runs from 3B to, Madison's 5A. I think there's even to 6A. So we've got a fairly good range there. But that's a good idea to go to the website. You can get some very specific, Monrovia website, you can get some pretty specific information. Gary in Madison has a question. Hi, Gary.
Hi. For the first time, I'm going to start growing some of my own flowers this year. And I've never done that before, but anyway, somebody told me that I will never get the flowers to be nice and big like I see at the different places that sell flowers because those growers use something called plugs and not seeds. Is that true?
Okay, so Gary's a first-timer here.
Right. That's not true. I mean, we start with, you could call it liners or plugs. That's just actually a cutting from a plant that you get rooted, get started, and a plug just means the tray that a grower is using. So if you take a cutting off of a plant that has really robust flowers, you're going to get, another plant with really robust flowers, but it doesn't really make a difference whether something starts with seed or plug in terms of the flower size you get. But while we're talking about flowers, I'd like to talk a bit about hydrangeas and some really great options for hydrangeas that make excellent cut flowers. We have a hydrangea series called Seaside Serenade that stays about 3 to 4 feet tall, and it was actually bred for the cut flower market. So the stems are really strong, won't flop over. It's got really good leaves too, like tougher leaves. The blooms, when you cut them off the plant, really stand up for a long time. And it comes in really beautiful colors, dark, bold, purples and really intense pinks and reds. And that's another key trend that we're seeing for next year is bold color in flowers. So I feel like there's a lot of great choices out there, and not just in hydrangeas, but other flowers in that bold, beautiful look.
And somebody's going to say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't get the name of that hydrangea. What is that name?
So the Seaside Serenade hydrangea, there's actually 9 in the collection. So you can see all of them on our website. They come in a range of fantastic colors.
I went online and I looked at those, and they are really beautiful. And Gary, if you wanted to make your own plugs, you could also get flower seeds and start your own seeds indoors and get a head start on it so that they're ready to go later on. Now there's we'll probably not go into all of that today on the show, but certainly there's a lot of help for that. And getting started with your own seeds, you can certainly do that in your own make your own plugs if you want to. Thank you very much for calling, Lanny, in Shenanigans Bay. It's your turn. Hi, Lanny.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I know I'm just a retired gentleman here. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I moved up to Wisconsin because I love it up here. And I just want to comment and to say that, gardening is very healing. You know, I mean, that's all I can say. It's very healing, and it's very optimistic, and it's very cool. So I think gardening is a good way to enjoy your retirement because you can get into other people. You can get into conversations. You don't have to be closed out away from civilization. You know, gardening is a good open up thing to communicate with other people, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just real positive, and I enjoy your show, Larry, and I just got finished moving, so I'm trying to settle down from moving, and I'm not going to move anymore. So anyway.
Lanny, thank you so much for calling. Well, Katie, I don't think you're going to be arguing with Lanny.
No, I love that comment, and I so agree with it. And I think, you know, gardening also feeds your curiosity. It keeps you curious about not just about plants, but, you know, other people and ways of doing things. It's constant learning. It is very healing. I love that. I think one of the other trends, Larry, that sort of fits in with that, besides the green drenching I was talking about earlier, is what we call the garden of abundance. The idea that you can plant, you know, your edibles don't have to be in one section of your garden. You can weave in what we call edible perennials, you know, edible shrubs and herbs. You can weave them into the landscape because they're really quite beautiful. And there's a blackberry, for instance, a superlicious blackberry that is, it's a thornless dwarf blackberry, puts on an incredible fireworks show of berries in the summer, stays about 3 to 4 feet tall, and it would be beautiful mixed in as a low hedge with hydrangeas, for instance. And so thinking about mixing in those edibles into the garden so that as you're strolling in the garden, you can reach down for a snack, you know, as you're clipping or pruning your other plants. It's really that's a joyful, really wonderful thing to do.
And Lanny, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I was really surprised to see a strawberry plant on your list of flowers for the meadow.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, you can plant edibles in the meadow, the modern meadow.
It surprised me a little bit. I think it was an Eversweet, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that idea of growing a diverse range of plants in that modern meadow, you know, massing, maybe you mass a few berries in one part of the meadow and then you, you know, you mass some other colorful, you know, you could mass some agastache or some fuchsia, some other perennials. One of the things that we're also seeing with interest in pollinators these days is the real interest in hummingbirds, mm-hmm. and attracting hummingbirds to your garden space. We kind of call the hummingbird the glamour pollinator. it's a pollinator that, you know, people want to see visit the garden, and so having a mix of, you know, a mass of a flowering perennial of one type with a lot of nectar, that's really good for hummingbirds because they have such a fast metabolism. They want to, you know, sort of poke around one plant and feed for a little bit of time. That's a great thing that you can weave into the modern meadow.
And the another one, and I'm not sure if you mentioned it yet, was the evolution, the colorific cornflower.
Oh,
and
yeah,
when
yeah.
you mentioned pollinators, I thought of that one.
Yeah, so that echinacea is really unusual. It emerges, the flower emerges kind of green and then turns pink and then turns sort of an apricot orange. So you have on one plant, you have a multiple hues in the blooms. It stays really nice and robust, doesn't get too tall, doesn't flop over. It's really sturdy. It's a very sturdy echinacea. Beautiful choice. And we've been growing that for for a little bit of time. I thought when you you were saying evolution, I also wanted to mention hydrangea, early evolution, which is kind of an unusual panicle hydrangea, blooms super early. You'll get that in spring. You'll get the blooms in spring. And it makes a, it stays nice and compact. It's only 2 feet tall. And it's just covered in blooms. It gets this really pretty sort of white pink bloom on it. That's been a hydrangea that we've really seen incredible popularity in the last year or so, especially in Wisconsin.
And what was that name again?
That is called hydrangea early evolution.
Hydrangea early evolution. You know, one of the segments or on your website that I really enjoyed was the area of plants that add bold color, and you did mention one earlier, the Seaside Serenade. But yeah. I was taken with the Panama Red.
Oh, the coneflower, yeah.
Coneflower.
Yeah, the echinacea. Yeah, we grow many different kinds of echinacea, and breeders have been really working at increasing the intensity of the shades and the blooms, and the Panama Red is just gorgeous. I think the other thing going on in breeding of echinaceas that's interesting is a lot more layering in the petals. So you get like this really sort of lush looking bloom. We have a new series called Sunseekers Echinacea, where it almost looks like a zinnia. It's really, quite lush and bold. So lots of choices out there now. Again, sort of veering toward the echinaceas that stay a little more compact and robust and don't get quite so tall.
And even peonies, I saw, what was it called? Garden Candy, I guess.
Yeah. The Garden Candy series, you get more than one bloom off of a stem. It's, and with gorgeous, gorgeous colors, you know, a real sort of true red, vibrant pink, but more blooms. And I think that one of the unusual things about the way Monrovia grows peonies is we keep our peonies growing at the nursery for longer, so that when you buy a Monrovia peony, it's going to bloom that first year. Sometimes you'll buy a peony and you have to wait a while, but the first spring that you get a peony from Monrovia, it's going to bloom. And the Garden Candy series, it's really the multiple blooms on one stem that's exciting.
And let's go to that other trend that you had mentioned. I didn't want to go back to it. The Garden of Abundance. Is this about creating and maintaining an entire ecosystem within the garden? Sounds like it.
Yeah, you know, and I think as we get into gardening, oftentimes we think of it as our own, just little paradise where we want to have it be productive and beautiful, and we want to see bird life and pollinators come visit. We want it all. That's why it's called the Garden of Abundance. And I want to talk a bit about, too, some really pretty flowering shrubs in that Garden of Abundance that would be good to mix with some of the other, fruit I was referring to earlier. We have a Rose of Sharon series called the Chateau series, and that's another unique option. It's zone 5, and it gets blooms covering the stems, so you get this this incredibly florific look in your chateau of and in your Rose of Sharon, and it comes in beautiful shades like sort of a lilac color, pink. That would make a great anchor in this Garden of Abundance. I mentioned the blackberry earlier, another great choice. We've got apple trees and of course fig trees. I think our hardiest fig probably goes to zone 6.
In terms of the apples, though, I was intrigued by the fruit snacks, Blushing Delight.
Yeah.
Describe that, because that sounded like it might fit in kind of a smaller area, quote smaller, but.
Yeah, no, that's the idea behind the fruit snack series. What a great name that is for these series of fruit trees. So they're apple trees that grow about 6 to 8 feet tall and stay 2 to 3 feet wide. So you can have several in a pretty small space. They won't get really tall or wide. And they actually, you know, have a lot of fruit, and they don't need as much spraying, you know, too. It's, you know, again, a new development in breeding that we're pretty excited about. We just started offering the fruit snack series last year. So they're still in sort of limited supply, but ask your local garden center to order one for you.
Yeah, I think, what did you say? It's about 2 feet wide is all. It's really columnar, and then it gets maybe 10 feet tall.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's perfect for our smaller yard spaces, you know, and I think, you know, we're interested as we think about growing plants in the future. We're really interested in edibles too, that you can grow in containers that you know, you can really fit into more growth in a smaller space.
Gail is on her way up north. Called from the car, couldn't stay with us, but she called to say she's in zone 4.
Uh-huh.
And hasn't been able to overwinter her Shasta daisies. Do you have a suggestion for a variety that might be tougher?
I'm just going to do a quick...
Yeah, go ahead.
Look at... if we want to get...
Shastas should grow in zone 4...
We have one called Shortstop. Shortstop Shasta should do well in zone 4. I would recommend that. Or one called Lemon Puff is another one. Lemon Puff is a little more lush, you know, has the sort of layering of yellow petals. It's tighter and lower. I think that either Lemon Puff or Shortstop might be.
What is Shortstop like?
Shortstop looks more like, the bloom looks more like a traditional Shasta daisy, but it stays more compact.
Oh, Brian in Appleton, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Brian.
Hi there. Yeah, just a quick question about, you might not be able to answer it, but those shorter apple trees you were just talking about?
Yeah.
I've been buying scion wood of a couple different apple trees. Would the scion wood still kind of keep the shorter height of the tree?
That is beyond my expertise, I'm sorry to say.
Can't help you out there, Brian. I'm sorry we can't, but it's beyond me a little bit too. So there you go.
Sorry, Brian, but I would suggest talking to your, you know, local extension or local garden center for insight.
It's something we can bring up on another one of our Garden Talk shows down the road, Brian. So stay listening. I'll keep that in the back of my my mind for bringing up and talking about it in another version of the program. How many varieties do you guys grow?
Just about 4,000 varieties total, yeah.
And where do you ship?
We ship all over the U.S. and into Canada. I wanted to talk about our roses while we're talking about, you know, what grows everywhere. That we grow at all of our nurseries. We have several new roses that I think, you know, even if you thought you didn't like roses, I'd like to suggest a few that may make you reconsider that. So we have a new series called Seaside Swirl Rugosa Roses. These are zone 3 hardy. One of the things that's different about the Seaside Swirl Rose series is that they stay more compact than other rugosas. They don't get quite so crazy. And, you know, full of blooms, they get these really lovely rose hips, and they come in those bright, bold colors I was talking about before. We also have some other beautiful, compact, stay bushy, but really compact. We have a rose called Itsy Bitsy Peach that only gets about 2 feet tall.
Makes
a great container choice. Nitty Gritty Rose is a great kind of carpet type ground cover rose, just full of blooms, comes in a lot of beautiful colors. And these are all Monrovia exclusive roses. So definitely.
Are they full sun types or?
Yes. Yeah. Full sun and own root, disease resistant, just fantastic choices. Like I said, if you think of roses as those taller canes, you know, more specimen type, these are different. These are ones to really consider as landscaping shrubs. So I just want to make sure that your listeners know about them.
Nathan had emailed to ask if you have any ideas for companion plants like the three sisters and vegetables.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a great question. We produce this Shades of Beautiful guide that does give you companion plants in the landscape. I think one of my, favorites are, you know, when you mix the echinacea with the compact grasses, those do really well together. That's a great combo.
Katie, we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much. What's your what's the website address? We'll probably have it up on our page, but
well, thanks for asking, Larry. It's monrovia.com. Really easy to find.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information on the site. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was great, and I wish everybody a fantastic spring of gardening.
Okay. Katie Tammany, Chief Marketing Officer at Monrovia. She serves as the company's chief storyteller and trendspotter, so it's great to have her with us. Coming up, we're going to take a look at potatoes, our most popular vegetable. I'm Larry Mueller.